always a wonderful to be able to come together and study God's Word as we have the opportunity to do so. It's always wonderful to be here and to simply to encourage and uplift each other and to edify and stir up love and good works. And I hope that is what is being done tonight as we come together, as we're here with each other, with those who are in like-minded faith, striving to get to heaven. This evening, the title of the lesson is Not a Mistake or an Accident. To the point that God hasn't made a mistake in creating you. God didn't make a mistake in creating me. It's not an accident that He created you or an accident that He created me, an accident in how He created this world, that this world was an accident or some mistake or something that just somehow happened. We'll make the lesson pretty easy on you this evening and just ask to turn to Genesis chapter 1 as we read throughout the chapter. Make a few points as we go through. Genesis chapter 1, as we read through the creation of all things, it's something that we teach quite a bit with young ones. It's a good lesson to go to with the young ones. Easy to point out, to have multiple lessons as you can go throughout the 6 days of creation, even using the seventh day of rest and teaching those little ones and getting many lessons out of it. A lot of different things we can do with it, right? And for activities for the young ones. But it's an important thing for us to understand as we get older also. Something that you might throw in along with the elementary or first principle teachings that we talked about this morning in this morning's lesson. But it's also a lot of things that has to be known. Because as kids get older and as they're in high school and as they go to college, it's something that is often taught against. What we need to know is that it's not an accident as we go through these things. And before we get into our reading, you know, just a visualization, something that we can see and picture and understand that, you know, here's a picture of a bunch of different clock watch parts. I cannot reach in there and grab all the different parts that I would need in order to pick out and know where they go to start making a watch. I want to know which piece goes where and how to go about it to put it together and rightly assemble it so that everything turns in the right way. And I bet anyone that would run into a watch or anyone that's wearing a watch you find one, you want to sit there and say, wow, an accident must have happened here and look what it created. This was specifically designed. Specifically created. There was somebody who took the time to draw it out, to visualize it, to see how and where everything needed to go in its proper place to make sure that this one turned this one and this one over here, and that it all worked together in order that the watch works properly. It's not an accident. It was created. You know, I know that we can talk to David and Ron and Aaron as they have worked on vehicles. That they don't just walk into their garage and their and throw something at their engines and hope that an accident will happen and it'll fix it. Whatever they're working on, right? It's never worked that way, has it? They might have thrown some stuff, but it didn't work. Things like this doesn't just happen. There's a creator. There's someone who works on it. I've done very little compared to what they have done on vehicles, and each time I have to go in and look on YouTube, type in the right car and right part, and find out how I'm supposed to, which parts come off, which parts need to go back in. You have to remember, correctly putting it all back together the way it's designed. And that's what we can see as we go through here in Genesis 1. Let's start in verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. As we just went through the first 2 days, God goes through and he says, let there be light, and there was light. God created it. He spoke it into existence. And as he sees the light as a good thing, he separates the light from darkness. Again, as we consider how this world works, how we as a planet are continuously circling around the sun, and we continuously are always rotating a 24-hour period, and we're continuously, 365 days, it's constant. But to sit here and say it was an accident that we rotate just at that certain amount of time, and that it's always going around, we see the moon, we see the sun, we have morning, we have night, each every day. God specifically designed it that way. He separated the light from the darkness, creating day and night. To sit here and say, well, that was just, mere coincidence. We can't, it doesn't happen in any other way. Nothing we have today that we go forth and that we create, that we make, just comes out of an accident. Now, you might be trying to work on something that you thought was going to be for this, and it ends up working for something else, and it was an accident, but you designed it. You were working on it. You specifically put it together, and there's a creator to it. It doesn't just happen. In verse 9, it says, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters, he called the seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields the seed, the fruit of the tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit to those seeds is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Constantly, things were good. It was good. What God had designed, again, not an accident. He specifically created these things. To sit here and think that just because something happened here, Big Bang, or that over just a matter of time that these things just happen to be. These trees and so many different types of trees that you can specifically go find out and look into them, just like you can a human. We'll talk about that down the line, you and I, people. But trees, then, to the point that we talk about their own DNA and looking to see what forest this came from. You get caught up in aging it, and you get caught up in. They can do all that stuff. Again, I know I'm not very scientifically with the words. But it's amazing when you sit there and think about what God has done. What has been created in this world. How God went about dividing everything and seeing how it would work together. How he was able to separate land from water. Understanding how much water should be there. How much land needed to be there. How he could grow these trees and the herbs and the grass and the bushes and produce the fruits that it made. God gave it all a purpose. Creating all these things. Verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights and firmament in the heavens, divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs of seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights and firmament in the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so.
Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And so the evening and morning were the fourth day. Again, as we consider, as God created all the planets, God created the sun, God created the moons around the other planets, and all the things that He put into it. And yet as everything continuously rotates, and we occasionally have the solar eclipse, and as we're passing by the other, yet we never run into each other. We're never floating off too far and getting too close to this one, and it's not coming in to us and hitting us, and it's just, we want to put it up to mere coincidence, to an accident, to a mistake, that this is a design. The more mankind is able to learn with the equipment that they have designed, that they had to put together, that years of trial and error, to be able to make something go into outer space, to be able to make stuff to look into outer space, telescopes, to be able to figure out how to make these things, to get the pictures that we have today, understanding that they couldn't come up with all that stuff on accident. And yet, they look and see all these things that are out there and how it is designed to rotate, how we always have fall, spring, and summer, and winter. Sometimes it feels like we go straight from one to the other. It's not an accident. There's a reason that we're so far away from the sun and we're not any closer because we burn up. There's a reason we're not any farther away because we freeze to death. We want to be able to survive. We're in the perfect spot for living life to be. Why? Because God put us there. It wasn't an accident. God knew what He was doing. When He was creating these things and creating this world and about to create mankind, He knew what needed to be done. He purposely made you. He purposely put us upon this earth. So we continue on in our reading here. Verse 20. It says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and living things that moves with the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of sea. Let the birds multiply on earth. So evening and morning were the fifth day." Again, just in consideration of what we're seeing there. You know, God specifically creating creatures to live in the water. We can't do that. I can't go and decide I'm going to move to the ocean today. And I'm going to live inside the ocean today. Can't do it. I can't breathe underwater. He specifically designed creatures to be able to swim in the water, to live there all their lives, and they can't live outside of it. Designed animals that can fly in the air. We have an awesome God that has such great power, such great knowledge and wisdom. Again, even His foolishness is wiser than the wisest of us all. There's so much that God has done. Verse 24 says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good." Again, you know, I've talked about it recently in a couple lessons probably that I've been out hunting, looking for that one deer that's worthy of being shot. Such beautiful creations of God. We was able to go down to the land between the lakes and see the bison and got to see some eagles and just the creation that God put into these things. That how God designed them made them beautiful, made them wonderful, marvelous.
And then we come to this next part of God saying here in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image.
Why are we different? Why are you and I different than the living creatures of this world? The ones that walk the earth, the ones that go forth and swim in the ocean, the ones that fly in the air. Because he made us in his image. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. And also to every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Again, and I know I've pointed this out in other lessons in the past, how God put us in charge. We're not the fastest creatures up on this world. We're not the strongest creatures up on this world. We're not the biggest creatures up on this world. But yet, because God designed us to be different than every other thing that he created and placed in this world, to be like him, to have the knowledge, to be able to have dominion over him, to be able to tame him. We read James 3 this morning, how it brought out that point. Look how big horses are. I think I was on Facebook today and someone had a picture of a moose. It says, just so everybody knows how big moose are. Have you ever looked that up to see how huge those things are? They look like giants. And yet we are able to tame such creatures. We are able to control them. Because God created us specific ways. I meant to look it up, and I'm sure someone here knows how many bones are in a body. The nerve system that goes throughout our body, having a brain and all the nerves connected to the brain, it's not an accident. I know there's other charts that we could throw up there. We could have a chart on the muscles. We could have a chart on and so many different things that show and all our organs, how they all work together. It's not an accident. God created us. Well, God created people. You know, you might sit there and say, well, he didn't create me individually. You know, he created Adam and Eve. We each are individually unique. God created us. And we come back to being humans. Once I've made something, and of course we have so many vehicles, so many different things, I have a tendency of copy and paste. You know, when something works, why fix it, right? And so, you know, God makes us each differently with a different code of DNA. We all each have our unique fingerprints that sets us apart from everybody else. You think how many people, you think about it, how many people have been up on this earth from day one, starting with Adam and Eve, to today. Children who are being born today. And yet not one of us share the same DNA. Not one of us share the same fingerprint. And I know we can get caught up in twins and how close they are. They're all unique. It's just amazing. To sit here and think that you want to say it's an accident. To sit here and consider that I don't know why I'm here. Why did God put me on this earth? That's when we need to start opening up our Bibles and studying the Word of God. see that God created you for a reason. Look for what His will is, to search out the truth and see what you need to be doing to serve your Creator, so that one day you can live with your Creator, worshiping Him face to face, to glorify Him, to thank Him for all that He has blessed you with, blessed me with. Because as we read through here, God created these things, verse 31, and it was very good. It was very good. Everything God created, as we read throughout Genesis chapter 1, it was good. But it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. And again, the uniqueness of you and I, and again, this world is a beautiful place. You know, I have never been out of the States. Can't even say I've been to a lot of places. But I know I've seen a lot of beautiful things. Mountains, waterfalls, the animals, the creatures. Again, I love to fly just because looking out the window, having a window seat, looking out on the world from that high viewpoint, it's just amazing. Can't imagine what it looks like from outer space. It's not an accident. And yet God's going to create, destroy this world. He's going to destroy it. It's going to perish, it's going to melt up, it's going to burn. It will no longer be. As we can look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. It's all going to be gone. And this physical body will be gone also. But again, the difference is if you go to Genesis chapter 2, you read through there, God gives us the breath of life. He breathes into us. He gives us a soul. Something that's going to continue on after this world is gone. And we ask, where do you want that to spend eternity? You desire to spend it in heaven or in hell? Because again, as beautiful as this world is, as great as all the creations in this world are, I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. How beautiful heaven's going to be. How wonderful. How greater it sounds as we read about it in the Bible. I look forward to that day. I hope you do too. If you're not ready for that day, we want to extend the invitation to obey the gospel, to do what is needed in order to make sure that you are ready for that day. So if you're here, you need to praise the congregation, or if you desire to be baptized, will you come forward as we stand and sing?